Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Galit Sadiq in the studio. Galit, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Damali. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, this is going to be fun today, ladies and gentlemen. Galit and I met because we were both honored and to be chosen for the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program. And it was just wonderful because we met and we were instant friends.
Yeah, and we were part of the same growth group, so I got to talk to you all the time.
And you are so key when we were doing that financial planning. I was like, oh my God, Galit, like you were so generous with your time to give us all time to kind of walk through it and think about the projections. And so I'm so delighted that others will be able to hear your lovely voice today on the air.
Thank you so much.
And we had the fun opportunity to go to South by Southwest this year, too.
Yeah, it was really amazing. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Galit is so incredible, ladies and gentlemen. She's also known as the financial sharktress. And typically when I see her, I just call her my sharktress. She is the founder and CEO of both Financial Sharktress and Sadiq G Management. So Galit, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So as you said, I'm the financial sharktress and I am a certified financial education instructor. I love to teach people how to be a shark with their money. I do that for individuals through financial wellness coaching, where we really focus on money mindset and financial literacy. And then in my virtual CFO company, Sadiq G Management, we do that for small businesses.
Excellent. And I know that for you, Galit, you really have an in-depth knowledge of human behavior because I think you studied psychology. Is that right?
Yes.
And so you're really able to tap into how to help people as they're exploring either what to do for themselves individually or for their companies. Is that right?
Definitely. I find that with all of my clients, they'll think they're coming in for a certain type of coaching or they'll think they're coming in for a certain type of service. And we'll find out that that's not what they really needed, or what they thought was the crux of their issue is not the crux of their issue, because we are able to delve a little bit deeper. And I definitely believe that my background in psychology has helped with that tremendously.
I like that you also make finances and everything to do with that, whether it's taxes, accounting, projections, you just make it interesting and you make it approachable because it can be kind of overwhelming. And so maybe that's because of your background in psychology, but I really love how you demystify it for so many people.
It's very important for me for it to be less overwhelming and to be something inviting, because we don't want to do things that don't make us feel good. So you have to tap into that type of emotion in order to make it feel good. And I've also found that we're kind of told all throughout our lives that finances are hard and understanding money is hard, but that's not true. We're, as humans, we are like genetically built to understand math, whether that be in a creative form through, you know, seeing symmetry in art, or, you know, pure mathematics, but we're kind of just built for that. And it's so sad that we think that this is something that's so hard for us, because it's truly not. And when you break it down to its most simplest form, it's very easy for people to understand.
Oh, I love how you approach this. So empowering people to navigate their finances and kind of removing that sense of panic or anxiety associated with it, because as you said, we're kind of genetically created to be able to do this. And so that's a great way to look at it. I love that, Galit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, you can simply call in our hotline and leave a message. You can ask a question about something you're contemplating, and it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and you're just not quite sure how to navigate it. It could also be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. with a co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do in that situation. So, Galit, how do you feel about us playing the first message?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Let's do it.
You have one message.
Hi. As a non-financial person, what are the most important things to pay attention to in financial reports?
Okay. So as a non-financial person, I guess the first question would probably be, is this, you know, a business or are we talking for an individual? In your business, some of the things that you want to look for is your profit and loss statement and really make sure that you are making a profit and you want to look at that on a regular basis. A lot of people wait until the end of the year to look to see if they've made money. But if you're not looking at accurate real-time data, then you're missing out on opportunities or you are making decisions with incorrect information just based on, you know, feelings. And that might not necessarily be what is going on in reality, either for the better or the worse. A lot of business owners struggling with managing cash flow. So a cash flow statement is also something that would be great to look at in a business. For individuals, and this was actually something that I talked about on, I have a segment called Money Mondays
on my
Facebook page.
Okay.
So I go live on my Facebook page every Monday.
I've seen it.
Last Monday, we were with, my guest was Hector, which is from one of our business advisors from the Goldman Sachs program. And we were talking about net worth. And that is something that I want people to start getting used to looking at. And it can be really simple to get your net worth using things like Mint, which is a free software where you can hook it up to all of your accounts. It'll teach you how to, or it'll allow you to budget. And it will even send you like emails if you've gone over budget or your spending is a little bit more in one category than they've seen in the past. So some of the things to look for as far as an individual is to really get to know your net worth and how different things affect it. Your credit score is always really important to look at, as well as your budget. And that should be something that is fun and you leave room in it for things that you want to do. And it's kind of like a living, breathing, I want to say document, but it's not really a document. It's just like a living, breathing entity that is constantly changing and you're constantly adapting. And that's how your finances should be in general. Should be like loose enough that you can pivot when you need to.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so I love that. I love that you said the first question was to determine whether or not the caller who wanted to know what's most important to pay attention to in financial reports. You wanted to know, one, was it for a business or for an individual? And for a business caller, what Galit was saying is that don't wait till the end of the year to check your profit and loss statement. And so it's really key to know what's going on. It's really key to have a good sense of what your profitability is so that you can pivot if necessary. So you can make some real-time changes that could potentially lead to increased profits, but you can't do it until you wait till the end of the year to review your profit and loss statements. She also said that it's important to take a look at your cash flow. Now, cash flow is really important because how much cash do you have on hand and what is it already allocated to? And so you want to have a good sense of what you have, especially because sometimes things just happen, right? And you need to have that information to analyze different opportunities. Do you bring on a new employee? How do you pay them? Exactly. Do you bring on a contractor? Do you invest in marketing? Do you invest in equipment, depending on what your line of business is? And so understanding your cash flow and how to manage it is key. And then I heard her say that if you're an individual, there are some programs, some software, some apps, et cetera, that's available to you to utilize. And some of those are free. And the one that she mentioned was Mint, which I've used and I do like it a lot, is very user-friendly. She also mentioned knowing what your credit score is. I think that's really key because you also need to make sure that everything is accurate and up to date. And that's also a good way to kind of check to make sure that no one has taken your identity. That has happened to a couple of people that I know, and they were able to determine it relatively quickly because one, they had the various alerts on their cards, and two, they checked their credit score and they were like, huh, I never had these accounts. And so yes, there are many reasons that you should be aware of your credit score. There were, back in the day, three main companies that provided credit scores. I don't know if that's changed or not, Galit.
It's still
those three. Okay. And then also budgeting. And I like that you said, Galit, that budgeting is something that is not really a document, but it's more of a living, breathing sort of entity that you're working with, that you're continuously working on and deciding how to incorporate into your life and lifestyle to help you to pivot when necessary.
Yeah, it's really a chance for you to become intentional with how you spend your money. Once you've been able to create a budget, that is really you creating an intention for every single dollar that you have and giving it a purpose.
Yes.
So that's the way that I like to see budgeting, rather than this, you know, really overwhelming task that nobody wants to do and nobody wants to think about how many bills they have to pay. But no, this is about giving your money a purpose and assigning intention to every dollar.
I love that. Intentionality with your money and assigning a purpose to every dollar. If you think about it that way, it's kind of hard to be frivolous with your money, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
That is the way that I like to operate. I don't want to just spend money on things that don't give me joy or hold a purpose for me.
Oh, wow. That sounds like Marie Kondo, right? When she was telling you how to declutter your home and taking out things that don't have a purpose or that don't give you joy. And I love thinking about that philosophy and applying it to money, because you're right. If you think about it, the intentions of it or assign a purpose to it, then I think your spending habits have to change, right, Galit?
They do.
Oh, I love that. Caller, you're getting some gems today. Galit is dropping some jewels today. So hopefully that's really helpful. Please let us know how you're doing. Provide some feedback. We always want to hear from our callers. Hopefully you'll let us know what your industry is, if you're talking about something that's for you as a business. We love to support you. Let's go to the second message.
Perfect.
You have one message.
Hi, Damali. My name is Marcus. I run a pre-made meals venture, but I'm new to the small business market. I'm interested in getting a company vehicle to assist with the local deliveries. But my question is for today, since I'm just starting out, should I lease a pre-owned vehicle or should I go ahead and finance one? Thank you and have a great day.
Marcus was saying is that he runs a pre-made meals venture and that he's new to the small business arena and that he wants to get a company vehicle to help him with delivering his products. But he's trying to figure out whether it makes sense to lease a vehicle. So should he lease a pre-owned vehicle or should he go ahead and finance one? So I'm assuming he means buy one and just pay it off as he goes along.
Okay. So that one's a little bit difficult to answer without knowing the rest of the financial situation and things like his credit score. So in a lot of cases, it would make sense for him to buy it. It depends, again, how old that vehicle is. What's the useful life of it? Is it going to be around for 5 years? Is it going to be around for 10 years? You know, is that because if he buys it, this becomes now a company asset,
right,
that he has. Whereas leasing it, it may be a smaller payment monthly, but he doesn't own it. So if he's looking for a vehicle that can be used immediately and is a little bit of a newer model, and he can get that through leasing, and it's going to be more beneficial to his business to do that, then he should go that route.
Okay.
But if he's looking for a vehicle that or if he's looking to buy a vehicle of the same value and his credit is good and he's going to get a good financing deal, then it definitely makes sense to take on that asset for the business. So it really has to do with, you know, how his credit is, what are the two options as far as vehicles? Is it the same vehicle that, you know, he's either thinking of buying or leasing?
Sounds like it depends on what he's doing long term. And so basically, if you want to, if your credit is good and you want to go ahead and take on owning this asset, then go for it. If you need something quickly, you want to have a smaller payment. And I would even add to that, Galit, what if you don't know what your model is? Like for now, you're starting this delivery service and maybe you're thinking about, I don't know if you're thinking about leasing an SUV or a van or a truck, right? Like one of those huge food delivery trucks,
yeah.
Right? So we don't have a good sense, caller, as to what you're doing with the vehicle. But what if your model, your business plan has you doing deliveries throughout, you know, the tri-state area, whatever that means to you based on where you're calling from. And so if you're thinking about how to start a precedent, I agree with Galit. To me, it depends. The answer is it depends. But I think for me, I would probably feel more comfortable leasing, seeing how I like it, seeing if it's the right vehicle. What if you can only transport your transportation ability will be limited due to, based on your car size, period,
exactly.
Whatever size it is. And what if you get a huge opportunity to deliver three times the amount, but you're locked into this, you're locked into the car that you bought. And so, which of course you aren't locked into it. You could always sell that car. You know, there are ways to work through. So I don't think there's a bad option.
Right.
You know, you can
and,
always
you
change.
Know, there's always the option of you pivoting completely and not doing deliveries yourself and getting some kind of distribution
yeah.
network set up. So you really don't know, especially when you're starting a business, exactly what it's going to look like. So leaving yourself room to pivot is great.
That's a great point. You could change. What about this, Galit? Because it sounds like if he has this pre-made meals venture and he's trying to figure out what about the company vehicle, like, how do you think about that in your bigger macro level kind of financial planning? Because if you're thinking about the company, you talked about financial statements earlier, you're thinking about the company, how do you kind of make a line item to allocate funds towards like this vehicle?
So when he's creating the company, he's got to be very specific about what he wants it to look like. And leave out room for either this lease or the vehicle payments. And when he's looking at his profit or what he needs to make as far as profit, you always want to write down all of your possible expenses, add them up, and then that's your break-even point, right? And then at that break-even point, you still need to leave yourself enough of a buffer on top of that. And I know in the Goldman Sachs program, they said, you know, add 25%, which is great. Add 25% onto your break even. And then that's your minimum that you need to make in revenue. And you shoot for that target.
And so that tells you how many meals on wheels you need to sell.
Exactly.
Excellent. Excellent. And so first, Marcus, we'd like to know more about these pre-made meals because I don't have a lot of time to cook. And I would like to know if you deliver to my neighborhood because that sounds awesome. Second, it sounds like the answer is it depends. Depending on where you are in the stage of your company and its development, if you're pre-revenue or if you're making some funds and what you really want to allocate towards this. And again, as Galit said, we don't know what kind of vehicles you're looking at. We don't know if they're the same as far as make, model, year, et cetera. And so if you were taking a conservative approach, it sounds like leasing might be the best route. However, if you're trying to start building assets for your company, you may want to own the vehicle. And so you have to call us back.
Yeah. And there's one more thing. If your company is already established, then that is something that you could get a small business loan for. Buying an asset for your business is something that banks are very willing to lend for.
That's excellent information, Galit. And so consider whether or not that's something that you're interested in, and then think about how that helps the overall profile of your company. That's excellent insight, Galit. And so, Marcus, I want to thank you for calling in. For other caller, too, who didn't leave her name, thank you so much for calling in. The audience, thank you so much for tuning in. And Galit, thank you for being here today. You've been phenomenal.
Thank you so much. I hope that your viewers got value.
Me too. I know they got some value. And in fact, hopefully they'll call us and tell us exactly how they've been able to think about some of these things that we've mentioned today on the call. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakthroughAdr. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.